Conference muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Umicore event call. I am pleased to present CEO Marc Grynberg. For the first part of this call, let me remind you that all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Mr. Grynberg, please begin.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pleased to welcome you to this quarterly trading update conference call, and I will be very pleased to comment today from Beijing on the continued strong performance of our business during the third quarter of this year. Strong performance indeed, with revenue growing by 13% year-on-year, and it is remarkable to note that we continue to grow at exactly the same pace as in the first part of this year. There was actually not much of a summer slowdown to be seen this year, and in many segments we have performed much better than the market. Anticipating on questions regarding visibility for the next few months, I would say that the order book is in good shape and remains in good shape, and we see no significant change in the ordering pattern of our key customers. As I mentioned in previous calls, I cannot rule out that demand would slow down at some point in the future. I can only repeat today that we do not experience or see that currently. I will elaborate in a few minutes on the performance in each segment, and in the meantime, suffice to say that the third quarter performance comforted our view that we should generate record revenue and earnings this year. So I'm happy to confirm that our full-year recurring EBIT should be in a range of 400 to 425 million euro. You will also have noted that we have been buying back our own shares since mid-August. Clearly, the board considers this investment as a compelling investment, and our solid cash flows enable us to return cash to the shareholders through a combination of buybacks and dividends, while at the same time continuing to invest significant amounts of money in longer-term growth initiatives. In recent months, we have reached a number of milestones in our growth plans for recycling, catalysis, and energy-related activities, and further investment decisions are in the pipeline. Let me now elaborate on the business performance, and I'm moving to slide number 3. In catalysis, the progression of our revenues was clearly spectacular. Global car production was 5% higher than in the third quarter of 2010, while our revenues grew by 17%. And actually, we grew faster than the market in all regions. This performance is the result of a strong positioning from a platform, OEM, and geographical point of view. In terms of platform mix, we have a disproportionate exposure to fuel-efficient engines, which continue to gain in popularity globally. Also, diesel cars have regained the ground they had lost to gasoline engines in Europe a few years ago when government subsidies were in place. And you know that Umicore is benefiting from its strong leadership position in light-duty diesel. In Japan, production is gradually recovering from the supply chain disruptions that followed the natural disaster in March. In the meanwhile, though, the component shortages have caused Japanese car companies to lose some market shares globally to the benefit of Korean, European, and American brands. And it is fair to say or to remind you that we are relatively better positioned to serve these brands globally compared to Japanese OEMs. And Korean OEMs in particular have performed extremely well in recent months. Also, we have strong leadership positions in the largest emerging markets, that is in China and South America, and this is reflected in our overall performance. In precious metals chemistry, our revenues grew fast too, driven by the demand from the automotive segment, also the demand from life science and fine chemistry applications. Moving to Energy Materials, revenues in that segment were up by 11%, and the increase was driven primarily by the growing sales of cathode materials for lithium-ion rechargeable batteries. Demand for portable electronic applications was sustained, partly due to the success of newly launched tablet PCs and smartphones, although I must say that the industry has recently started to express some concern of a slowdown in consumer spending, although, again, we don't see that today. In parallel, the demand for automotive applications is taking off rapidly, and the new production capacity in Korea and Japan will be coming on stream in a very timely manner to address the growing demand. Judging by the number of platforms for which our products are being tested or qualified, there are good reasons to be bullish about future business developments in that segment. The ceramics and chemicals business continued to perform extremely well, in particular due to the strong demand for nickel compounds, while the demand for cobalt powders used in tools was somewhat less buoyant than in the third quarter of 2010. In electro-optic materials, sales of germanium substrates continued to grow due to a higher demand for concentrated photovoltaics, and this is also a segment where we see demand finally emerging quite fast, while the satellite business was stable. The demand for infrared optics remained subdued, no change compared to the comments I made in that respect last time, with no significant recovery in sight in the government-sponsored programs. In thin film products, sales of rotary targets are increasing, and the new technology continues to gain traction. We expect that a significant proportion of the investments that display manufacturers will make in the near future will rely on this more efficient rotary technology. Revenues in performance materials were in line with those generated in the third quarter of last year, and I'm now actually on page four of the slideshow. You will recall from previous discussions that we had anticipated a recovery in the construction sector, looking at the number of projects being initiated in 2010, and this recovery is now materializing in a number of our markets. As a result, there is a higher demand for all of our zinc-based materials, in particular in France, in Belgium, and in Germany. As a matter of fact, our sales have grown faster than the construction market overall. Sales in technical materials were also higher than in the same period of last year, especially in medium voltage applications, and that trend is a result of a growing need for electricity distribution. Our customers are affected by the high silver price, which drives them to manage inventories very tightly, but doesn't really affect the demand for products at this point in time. On the flip side, the high silver price should also help promote low silver-containing products, which may create a new opportunity for technical differentiation in this business. In zinc chemicals, revenues were lower than a year ago in fine zinc powders, in oxides, and in zinc battery materials, with a mixed picture in terms of how demand is developing region by region. The revenues in platinum engineered materials were also slightly down on the same quarter of last year, and you may recall that this business is driven by investment projects, so it is not really meaningful to extrapolate from quarterly data the trends that we have seen so far, that we have seen the past couple of years, with continued growth in the display segment is unbroken. Completing the picture for performance materials, I can also say that we had stable revenues in electroplating, where we saw continued high demand for precious metals-based solutions used in decorative and electronic applications. the revenues of Element Six Abrasives, which, as you know, are not being consolidated, were stable quarter-on-quarter with higher sales of advanced materials and hard materials used in automotive applications and wear parts, respectively. The demand for oil and gas drilling applications was somewhat lower than last year. The recycling business, as you could read from the press release this morning, continues to fire on all cylinders. We saw continued high demand in the quarter for gold recycling in the jewelry and industrial metals business, which is also a phenomenon that is typical when gold price is as high as it's been in the third quarter of this year. We also saw very high demand for silver-based products used in industrial applications such as photovoltaics. Precious metals management did very well too, as a result of high precious metals demand from industrial customers, and the production of gold and silver investment bars for retail investors continues to run at full capacity. The demand remains extremely strong. The demand for those small investment bars remains extremely strong indeed, against the backdrop of investor concerns over the sovereign debt situation in the Eurozone. In precious metals refining, the performance was again outstanding. Volumes increased further compared to the third quarter of 2010, both for industrial byproducts and end-of-life materials, and supply conditions remain quite buoyant. The business continues to be supported by high metal prices, which benefit both the supply and the supply availability and the margins that can be realized, it can be achieved in this business. Margins in the recycling activity are also a function of the complexity of the residues we process, and we see a trend of growing complexity developing in certain supply segments of industrial byproducts. We were also very successful in sourcing higher volumes of end-of-life materials, in particular high-grade electronic scrap and spent automotive catalysts. My earlier comment about complexity is also true when it comes to electronic scrap. The number of substances being used today to produce electronic components is so high that it makes the recovery of precious metals from the electronic scrap far more complicated than it used to be in the past. And this is clearly where we excel. Let me now spend a few minutes commenting on some recent developments that illustrate how we execute the strategy and continue to position Umicore to seize significant growth opportunities. And I'm actually now on slide number 5. In early September, we inaugurated the new UHT smelter in Hoboken. As we indicated in previous presentations, this investment is the cornerstone of our growth strategy in recycling. On one side, it will enable us to start processing spent lithium ion and nickel metal hydride batteries at industrial scale and demonstrate our unique ability to recover rare earth from the spent nickel metal hydride batteries at industrial scale. On the other side, we will use the new facility to conduct pilot tests for new residue streams or blends. Another high-profile grand opening took place a couple of weeks ago in Kobe, in Japan, where we inaugurated the new production facility for cathode materials and the test center, which will specialize in large cells for EV applications and hybrid applications. Customer attendance at that event was very high and confirmed the high level of interest in Umicore products. The new phase of capacity expansion in Korea is nearing completion and should start operation in the first part of 2012 in time to meet the growing demand from our customers. In the third quarter of this year, we also entered into new technology licensing agreements as we continue to strengthen our IP portfolio. The demand for cathode materials in automotive applications is taking off very nicely, and I'm really pleased with the manner in which we progress and get positioned in various platforms. Clearly, there is still a lot of work ahead of us, and I can guarantee that our teams are working hard to get the capacity on stream in time and get the products qualified, which also is generating, as I indicated in previous calls, high costs in the meantime. Bottom line, though, is that the level of qualification work currently in the pipeline bodes well for the future ramp-up of this cathode material business for automotive applications. In catalysis, we continue to add production capacity and capabilities worldwide to address growing demand and the introduction of new applications. This is currently most visible through our investments in China, and the construction of our technology center in Suzhou is making good progress, and it actually is due to be commissioned in mid-2012. Finally, at the end of this month, we will open a workshop in Yokohama in Japan to produce platinum equipment for our high-purity glass customers in Japan. And, of course, as you would expect, there are many more projects to come as we continue to deploy the strategy that we presented a couple of years ago. In concluding the presentation and moving to slide number 6, and actually before opening the floor to your questions, I would like to repeat that I'm confident we will generate record revenues and record earnings this year, with a recurring EBIT expected to be in a range of 400 to 425 million euro. My level of confidence is based on the actual performance achieved so far, obviously, and takes into account the forecast demand for the balance of the year. The picture in that respect has not changed since we published the results of the first half and since we commented on those in early August of this year. And as I mentioned in the introduction of this conference call, the order books continue to be in good shape. On this note, I would like to conclude the formal part of the presentation and open now the floor to your questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the code 01 on your telephone keypad and you will enter a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. So once again, please press the code 01 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that you can ask a question by pressing the code 01 on your telephone keypad. The first question is from Andrew Stott from Bank of America.
Good morning, Mark. Can I start with China? Did I hear you say you're in Beijing right now?
Yes, indeed, I'm in Beijing, yes.
I don't know how long you've been there, but I suppose my question was really whether you're picking up any sort of new messages around China in general, particularly obviously on autos. So if relevant, if your trip's been long enough, I'd just appreciate any feedback you're getting from China. Second question was specific to the numbers today. As you said, 17% growth in catalysis is spectacular. I tend to agree with global auto production 5. Is there any substrate effect in there? I'm just trying to reconcile that. Thanks.
Well, unfortunately, Andrew, my presence in China has not been long enough. I arrived this morning
to
provide some meaningful feedback from customers or colleagues or business partners about how business is developing in China, what has been reported in the press seems a fairly realistic picture. There is a slight slowdown in GDP, but still to a reasonable and fairly impressive level of about 9%. And the government is, I believe, doing what is necessary to avoid an economic shock and a hard landing. And I think that you will see probably a GDP trending towards 8%, 8.5% in the next few quarters. As far as the demand is concerned for our products, we see no fundamental change in the sales or ordering patterns. Things continue to do to go relatively well, and we continue, as I mentioned earlier, to add capacity, in particular for the automotive demand, as we continue to have a growing demand for our products and as emission standards continue to tighten in the country. Coming to your question about the revenue growth and a possible substrate effect, it is indeed correct that the proportion of DPF has somewhat increased in the mix in 2011. So there could be indeed a slight effect, but this is not really what is explaining the overperformance or the outperformance compared to the market. Because actually the market has also grown with a higher proportion of DPS.
And is there any impact from the average size of the vehicle? Because your point earlier on the call about the scrappage schemes being in lower literage, is that also an imprint, do you think, or do you think it's just mainly diesel?
Yeah, on a quarterly basis, I would not extrapolate too much, but indeed, if you look at the year-to-date figures, you will see that indeed diesel has regained some of the market shares it had lost in Europe, and that is favorable to us both in terms of revenues and in terms of margins. And also, you know that we have a significant leadership position in light-duty diesel, so any I would say when diesel gains market share against gasoline, we are benefiting from that trend. That's clear. If you look at the year-to-date figures, you will see that indeed some of the larger size vehicles have regained some of the ground they had lost to the very small vehicles on the global scale. Although I must say the shift from one segment to the other are fairly small in absolute terms. But you have some of that effect indeed. And clearly the premium segments and the premium brands are doing extremely well, as you know, and this is also a trend that is very favorable to us.
Okay, thank you very much, Juan.
So the next question is from Rupesh Midlani at Barclays Capital.
Hi, good morning. Rupesh Midlani from Barclays Capital. A couple of questions from my side, please. First, could you comment on how active you see competition in the battery recycling segment and how you see the end market for battery recycling developing? And second, do you see any attractive acquisition opportunities for you in the recycling segment, and how do you reconcile that to the ongoing buyback program that you have currently? Thanks.
The competitive landscape in battery recycling is still fairly embryonic, I would say, because it's an early stage development, and most competitors I would say so-called competitors are companies or institutions that have developed a lab-scale process to recycle lithium-ion batteries. And actually, Umicore is the only player in the field out there that has the industrial-scale capabilities to recycle lithium-ion batteries. For nickel metal hydride batteries, the situation is somewhat different because those can be recycled in classical nickel smelting flow sheets, and so this is there the competition exists already today at industrial scale. However, Umicore is the only player, the only company that is able to recover rare earths from spent nickel metal hydride batteries, something that nickel smelters cannot do, and this will start to have an impact now on how the the competitive landscape and the competitive positioning is shaping up in that business. The end market is not yet at the stage where it's meaningful to make comment, because the cars, the electrified cars, is first to be on the road for a number of years before the recycling reaches a sizable mass and a critical mass, so that will take a number of years. However, as you can read from some of the announcements that are being made by car companies, the positioning is taking place now, because it is indeed important and critical for car companies to guarantee that they can process the batteries at the end of their lifetime in an environmentally friendly manner and legal manner. So that has to be, I mean, the peace of mind has to be there for consumers. In recycling, coming to your second question, we don't really see acquisition opportunities, because there is not much out there that could add to our technological capabilities, to our technical capabilities. And as I mentioned also in the past, we're extremely wary of acquiring environmental liabilities from other people. And in recycling, this is clearly a topic that requires quite a lot of vigilance.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
The next question is from Robert Verhauer at UniCredit.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask two questions, if I may. The first one refers to...
Excuse me, can you speak louder or closer to the microphone, because I can really not hear you well.
Sorry, excuse me, is that better? Is it better now?
No.
Hello, is it better now? Sorry?
Go ahead, I'll try to figure out what the question is. Go ahead.
I have a question regarding the recycling division, where you had very strong revenue growth at 22%, which you said was based on volumes and based on good supply conditions. I was wondering if you have any comment on prices for precious metals on the division. Prices have declined quite sharply in September. And you also say that that received prices for metals have increased in recycling. Does it have any negative effect? And the other question I had was referring to your net debt. It has increased slightly to 380 million based on the share buyback, and I was wondering if you have any net debt target for the end of the year. Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the first question. I really could not understand the second one. The first question is about the precious metals prices. On average, the received prices were slightly higher in the third quarter of 2011 than in the third quarter of last year. And so indeed our activity continues to be supported by high precious metals prices. I mean, when prices are high, the availability of scrap to be recycled tends to be higher, and our recycling margins are also somewhat better when the precious metals prices are higher. Now, the fact that the prices have decreased in the meanwhile is not going to have a material impact on Umicore, because in the short to medium term, quite a number of contracts are already priced or fixed or hedged, whatever you call that. And so I do not expect that to be a source of volatility or material volatility for us. Now, if you don't mind, would you please repeat the second question, because I really could not understand it.
Sorry, my second question referred to your target for net debt for 2011. After you said that net debt had increased slightly to 380 million.
Yeah, indeed, the net debt has increased slightly as a result of higher working capital requirements, the dividend payments, and the share buybacks. While the operating cash flows remained very solid. Now, we don't really have a target net debt level, except that we want to be at least investment grade at every point in time in the cycle, which is a prerequisite for us in order to continue to have the strength to invest in research, to invest in CapEx, to distribute dividends, etc., throughout the cycle, regardless of the fluctuations that we can see in the economy.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Arnaud Hossens at Exane BNP Paribas.
Yes, good morning, Mark. Actually, three questions for me. First one, the first two are relate to catalysis, and the second one to recycling. So the first two, can you give us an update on HDD platforms or any wins that you may have had? And the second one, can you comment on, let's say, what we hear for the last couple of weeks on car production cuts and what impact that could have on you? Maybe not now. In
or is it not, what was it, what we hear about?
Sorry?
Sorry, the line is really very low, so I don't hear very well.
Okay, so the second question was on car production cuts. The recent reports that we have from various producers in the U.S., in South America, and in Europe. And my third question concerning recycling. Can you give us more comments on the new supply streams that you're talking about in your UHT plant, recycling plant?
Or sorry, again, the line was totally inexistent. I didn't hear the last question.
So the last question is on recycling. Can you give us some more information on the new supply streams that you talk about regarding your UHT plant? Do you want me to repeat?
Okay. So on HDD first, I mean, we're not reporting on contract wins or individual contract wins. Suffice to say that we continue to make good progress in our positioning, and the focus is indeed now on making sure we have the capacity and capabilities in place in the various regions. To meet the demand and the contracts that we have in place, and the business continues to progress well in line with our expectations. Now, if I understood correctly, the second question was about car production.
Yep. So the car production cuts that we've heard from various car manufacturers.
Okay, I'm not sure about what you heard from car manufacturers. Actually, as I mentioned earlier, our order books are in very good shape, and that comment was also valid and applying to the catalyst business. You may have noticed from industry statistics that inventory levels remain very low, and that the sales and production levels continue to be very much aligned. And we don't see a reduction in product or a material reduction in production rate for the time being. And so I'm not sure about what you have heard, but we don't see anything that would be of concern in the short term.
Okay, thanks. And the third question on the new supply
stream? Yeah, sorry, there was a third question about the new supply streams for UHT. It's a bit premature to comment on that. You need to give us more time now to conduct the various tests on these new supply streams and new blends, possibly. And once we have something concrete enough and advanced enough to be communicated, we will do so.
But would this be a cannibalization of Hoboken's existing stream, or is it really new materials?
No, it is not. It is not likely to cannibalize what we do today. It is really adding to what we do today, both from a supply stream point of view and possibly also from a geographical point of view.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Marc De Brouwer at Petercam.
Yes, good afternoon for you, Marc. I have a question regarding the outperformance in catalyst. You mentioned a certain number of ingredients, such as the loss of Japanese market share, the special European exposure, and ground gained in diesel. You mentioned also a small shift towards for the size of a vehicle. Perhaps a slight effect from substrate, but to what extent is the outperformance also dependent upon the specific success of lines or models, and this kind of things cannot be sustainable, perhaps. And so, what is your view on the sorry, on the relative success of the specific lines and models?
Hello, Mr. Greenberg.
No, indeed, you're right. Of course, the development of our sales in catalysis depends to a large extent on how well the platforms that we serve are selling in the marketplace, and so clearly that has an impact. And this is why it is important to have a well-diversified portfolio of platforms, because you don't know in advance which ones are going to sell and which ones are going to be less successful and less popular. So clearly, we have a mix of platforms today that is very supportive and continues to be supportive, because you will recall that we have been outperforming the market growth for a while now, for a number of successive quarters or half years.
Yes.
So indeed, this is to a certain extent linked to the how we're positioned and which platforms we serve. This is one of the reasons why I typically refrain from drawing conclusions from quarterly data in terms of market shares. However, as I mentioned, or I would say our performance has been quite sustained now over time and indicates a very successful positioning indeed.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Joe De Wurst at UBS.
Hello, Mark. I just wanted to ask on the end-of-life material supply, particularly the electronic scrap, if we're seeing some of the surprising growth in volumes also now being driven by some of the legislation and recycling directives over and above, obviously, what we're seeing on metal prices. And then also on recovery of metals, other than precious metals, so some of the other critical materials, whether we see movements now, particularly from the EU, to try and get systems in place and revenue streams in place to start enabling recovery of other metals. Thank you.
No, you're absolutely right. I think the European Union has now fully realized that secondary materials, end-of-life products contained not only precious metals, but also a number of other critical materials and metals that could be recovered, that could actually easily be recovered if the collection networks and mechanisms were in place, and if there wasn't too much leakage of these secondary products out of Europe into the other regions. So legislation is getting tightened nowadays. European legislation is getting tightened, and we expect indeed a better enforcement of the existing legislation to come in the shortly, such that indeed the pile of critical and rare substances that are to be found in end-of-life products can be harnessed and the metals can be recovered. And electronic scrap is a good example, because electronic scrap contain precious metal that actually make it a high value type of residue, but they also contain a lot of other metals and substances that are required to make cell phones, computers, etc., which can also be recovered and reused.
Thank you. And do you think we see some of that materializing more next year, or is that too soon?
No, I think it is something that we start seeing now already, and I think we'll continue to develop in the next few years. Indeed, no, it is starting. And clearly, one of the effects that I highlighted in my presentation is the fact that electronic scrap continues to get more complex because of the number of substances that are being utilized. So that is a trend that has already been there for a while.
Thank you.
The next question is from Stephanie Rees at Redburn.
Hi, good morning. I've just got two questions. Firstly, has there been progress with car manufacturers in terms of cooperation on electric vehicles? And then my second question is, in your recycling segment, can any orders be cancelled, or are your contracts completely binding in terms of your order book? And have there been any signs of this? And if there were some cancellation of orders, is your incoming volume still exceeding capacity so everything remains full? Thank you.
I'm sorry, I will have to ask you to repeat the two questions.
Okay, sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, my first question is, has there been progress with car manufacturers in terms of cooperation on electric vehicles? And then my second question is, in your recycling segment, can orders be cancelled, or are your contracts totally binding, and has there been any signs of this? And if some contracts were cancelled, is the incoming volume still exceeding capacity so everything remains full?
Okay. Now, indeed, there is a lot of progress on the development of electrified vehicles, and we are cooperating, working intensively both with car manufacturers and with battery manufacturers to develop the best possible solutions to make hybrid and electrified vehicles competitive, affordable, and competitive. And as I mentioned in my presentation, the demand is taking off very nicely, and that's why we'll need the extra capacity that we are building very soon. And next to the existing demand, the amount of work that is being currently undertaken in order to test and qualify products for new platforms is really impressive and really demanding, which indicates indeed that the trend towards electrification is there to stay. So yes, there is intensive cooperation, and the fact that we have I would say technical testing capabilities that most of our competitors do not have is also a significant asset when we talk to the car manufacturers, and the fact that we know how the car works, how the powertrain works, how the battery works, and that we can test all the components is definitely an asset for Umicore in getting joint development programs. In terms of recycling, the contracts are binding. Of course they are binding. These are contracts. However, in some cases the quantities are not guaranteed. They depend on the actual level of production of our customers. But the conditions are really fixed in the contract, and the contracts cannot be cancelled if they are in place. And we don't see any indication of risk of I would say cancellation of contracts or customers not delivering. I would say the trend continues to be very positive, and there is no sign of weakness in that business.
Mr. Rees? Okay. Mrs. Rees? We have no response from Mrs. Rees.
Sorry, hi, thank you very much. And there was, can I just check that you also remain at full capacity in your recycling segment as well?
Yes, indeed, we are working at full capacity, and we continue to work at full capacity and continue to optimize the mix, which means that in certain cases we are turning down, we're turning away from the materials that are offered to us on a spot basis.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Peter Zwinkels at RBS.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. It's Peter Zwinkels. One question, actually. In an inflationary scenario of the precious platinum group metal prices, we see that the supply increases also suddenly. In the other way around, in the scenario where we are currently in, so when you see prices dropping rapidly, how do you suppliers react on this? Do you see any speculation in anticipating on recovery prices, for example? And can you please split up then in between industrial residues, e-scrap and byproducts? Thank you. Mark?
Mr. Greenberg?
Yes. Yes, I'm listening to the questions via the computer, so there is a time lag. You have to excuse me for that. The price of platinum has indeed decreased in the past few weeks, but remains very high, looking at historical patterns and historical averages. So I'm not so much concerned about that, and the segment where we see the more volatility in terms of supply or a higher correlation between the supply availability and price is in spent automotive catalysts. We don't see much of that or any of that in the other segments. We don't see that in industrial byproducts. We don't see that in electronic scrap, which is a regulated segment. So it's really in spent car catalyst that you can have something of that sort, and we don't really see it now. So it can still happen, but we don't really see that now, and it is also difficult to model and to anticipate what the price expectations are of the collectors and how they will behave.
Okay, thank you. But if you can you give us a guesstimate about
it's not a concern because price is relatively high still, first of all, and secondly, because supply is abundant, and as I mentioned, we are turning away a number of materials today, so we have plenty of flexibility in case there would be a reduced availability of one of the supply streams.
Okay, but can you give us maybe a guesstimate about how much of the total process material comes from spent catalyst?
No, we don't break the supply down into that level of detail. As we mentioned in the past, about one quarter of the supply in volumes is end-of-life materials, but I don't want to break that down into the various components.
Okay.
And
thank
in terms
you very
of
much.
Value, the proportion is higher.
The next question is from Martin Evans at JP Morgan.
Thanks very much. Apologies, I missed the beginning of the call if this question has been answered. But on the recycling business again, Mark, where, as you say, activity levels are high right now, I remember you said back in the summer that you had orders booked already or contracted for at least 6 months ahead on site spent materials for recycling. Is that still the case, or indeed are the contracts looking forward for even longer than 6 months into next year? Thanks.
So indeed the situation is still more or less the same. We still have number of long-term contracts that are in place that cover the next 2 or 3 years or so. We have also a number of evergreen contracts in place that by definition are not limited in time. And we have indeed a a fairly high level of supply that is available on site already. So the situation is by and large in line with the comments made in the summer months, and the further contracting for next year and the year after continues to make very, very good progress. So the market conditions continue to be very supportive, and we take advantage of that to lock in new contracts.
Thanks very much.
The next question is from Denise Lepadato at Kempen.
Good afternoon. I actually have just two questions on Catalyst. Can you actually remind me what is the average visibility for the division? And second of all, what proportion of the business is coming from Europe? I'm sure you noticed that recently CSM downgraded its forecast for 2012 production for Europe, so they're actually anticipating a decline at this point. So I was just wondering what the proportion is from Europe at this point.
The visibility typically in the order book is 2 to 3 months. That's the I would say the call-off period. So that's where we have a certainty about the sales, the upcoming sales. And beyond 2 to 3 months, we work with the car manufacturers' production forecast and production plans, which go up to 3 years. And which get regularly adjusted in function of how well the models are selling in the market. So visibility is I would say, pretty good. Percentage of our business coming from Europe is something we do not disclose. Clearly, there are a number of regions where Umicore is one of the leaders, and in each region you typically have two leaders and a distant number three. In Europe, Umicore is Umicore is clearly one of the two leaders in Europe, in China, in Korea, in America, in South America as well, and I would say a more distant player in Russia, India, and Japan. So that's the level of information that I can repeat in respect of where our business is situated.
Okay, clear enough. Thank you very much.